News Radio 690 KTSM presents more of the El Paso History Show, featuring your host, documentary filmmaker Jackson Polk, and historian Melissa Sargent. We're live online at ktsmradio.com. Brought to you by ephistory.com, the website for archive podcasts of this radio show and DVDs about El Paso history and heritage. ephistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. Call 915-581-7099. And by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. And now, here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Hey, we're on the radio here. We're going to talk about stuff second hour here. Melissa Sargent did for the El Paso History Alliance these days. And we're talking about the today. Melissa has done a very fine job here on how St. Patrick's Cathedral in El Paso got its name 100 years ago.
Father Anthony Joseph Schuller becomes El Paso's first Catholic bishop in 1915, and his first priority is to build a cathedral at a cost of $150,000. Bishop Schuller, looking to raise the funds for the cathedral's construction, decides to offer the first group to raise $10,000 for the project the right to name the new cathedral. El Paso, then the center of mining in southwestern United States and northern Mexico, had many miners who were from Ireland. And their wives, a resourceful group of Irish Catholic women, met the bishop's challenge and won. They chose the Irish patron saint, St. Patrick, for the new cathedral. More history next week on El Paso History Moments. I'm Melissa Sargent for the El Paso History Alliance.
This El Paso History Moment is brought to you by Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services. Go online to sargentinventoryservices.com.
I'm there already. I'm online looking for you. Well, that's a very interesting thing. 100 years ago.
That's right, and that was my belated St. Patrick's Day.
So it goes. I mean, that was only yesterday.
That's only yesterday. Yes, crazy. So, you know, that's one thing. One thing I would like to know, if anybody can find the history of the Irish miners in El Paso, that was something I was having a heck of a time finding. I know that the wives were of Irish miners here in El Paso, but I can't find anything on them.
Well, I've been looking also for what was the mining history in El Paso, and they had an assay office on every corner downtown.
I know.
You go look at all the old pictures?
Yeah.
They're all over the place. But then where was the mining industry? I mean, who knows?
It was mostly in the either up in New Mexico or down in Mexico. But to try to relate that as to where are the groups, you would have thought there would have been more information. Now, I can find the Irish miners in Arizona, and some in New Mexico, but mostly in Colorado, because there was a lot going on. Well, there's a lot going on with unions at that time, and a lot of the Irish were up there. But El Paso, it's like there's nothing there.
Well, we had the College of Mines starting in 1915, so that was an interesting thing to do there. And it was Mines and Metallurgy, I believe, was the full name of it. But the whole point of ASARCO being here was another factor in that. All right, that was for the El Paso History Alliance. They're on Facebook with 38,000 followers. If you want to get involved, call Bernie.
Yep.
581-7920. All right, we're back with Rod White, Bernie Sargent. Let's take a look. Are you getting pictures up now?
I'm getting there. Slowly but surely.
Because something coming out of that trunk sort of got my throat.
a little dust.
Talk about the trunk. Bernie Sargent, Rod White. What came out of that trunk, Bernie and Rod? What's in there?
I'll let Rod talk about that. That's his collection.
There's some of the collections that we've passed down. Do we decide it was Knights of Columbus?
No, I think it's York.
It's York?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. Take a look at it online.
We're working on getting Bernie's mic up.
Knights of Templar?
Yes.
Knights of Templar were the organization that we've got. The picture that we put up on the website.
We're working on that right now.
Working on that is it shows him in that outfit, probably fairly late in his life. I don't have the sword anymore, but it's got the hat. I've got the hat. I've got the one of the cross pieces, some of the gloves, and there's actually two hats in there, some of that activity. Plus, apparently there's a whole round, a big belt of live bullets in
there. We don't want to know about that.
It's only .45 caliber.
Caliber. Point them toward Mexico, would you please?
Anyway.
But the truck itself is old.
Yeah. And the other thing I have in there was his original discharge papers from Appomattox Courthouse when he was released from the military at the surrender of Lee.
That's kind of bizarre.
Yeah, I mean, it's getting hard to read that one, but that's old.
You need to get that restored somehow. And
yeah,
put
if
it
I
place.
Can get it done. Because
we know somebody that can help you with that.
Yeah, there's a lot of people in town. Yeah. Like you talk to probably a historical society can find you someone or a museum. Yeah. My sister-in-law does that stuff.
Lynn, yeah.
But Bernie, tell us about the captain himself.
Oh.
Because that guy was an unusual dude.
Well, it's very colorful history, and I was honored to be a participant when we actually placed a historical grave marker over his grave at Concordia in the Masonic section. And
did you play his part that day? Or?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, cool.
And I did a little bit of research and found out a tremendous amount of history about this gentleman. He was perhaps one of the youngest enlistees in the Confederate Army. Yeah, they say the youngest, but you know who knows? I wasn't there.
Right.
I would have to say the youngest as far as anything I could find. And right now I'm researching the CSA records, Confederate Services of America. And what I want to do is find out what he did, where he was at in the whole enchilada. Well, he served in what was referred to as the Independent Signal Corps. And they stayed along. I think I said Potomac, but it was Appomattox River and James River. And he served under Major, what was his name, Major Bennett, I believe his name was. Oh, Milligan, Major James Milligan. And Milligan was kind of an interesting individual in out of himself. And the whole idea that Milligan was trying to accomplish here was to keep an eye on Grant's soldiers and his Navy, because the Navy was overwhelming at that point in time, 1864, 1865.
Which Navy?
The Union Navy.
They would be the dominant, I would guess.
They were very dominant.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they were supplying their military by using the rivers, and what Milligan was doing, you know, with the white was surveying that area and funneling information back to the soldiers and their Navy.
Did so they have telegraph at the time? They did.
They
right?
did. In fact, Milligan was a naval commander.
Oh.
And he was using naval methods to signal back and forth to the troops.
Oh.
And they were anticipating the arrival of a brand new ironclad ship. Ooh. That was bought from France. It was actually destined to go to Norway. But the ship, Norway was negotiating price, trying to drive it down, and they spent the better part of a year negotiating while the ship sat in the port in France waiting for delivery. And because of the spy network in Europe, this particular ship, which was called the Jackson, the Stonewall Jackson, it was the second ship named after Stonewall Jackson, it had a very large proboscis, as they said.
Proboscis.
It was ironclad and below the water line. And the anticipation was, coming in with all the armament that it had, that it would be able to decimate the Union ships.
By ramming them or just shooting them?
Ramming and shooting.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, they would just they would complement the ramming with a couple of rounds of, you know, like 16, 20-pound cannons. Then what ended up happening is the Norwegians took delivery of it, but they didn't take delivery under the auspices they were buying it. It ended up where the Confederate States were buying it, and the CSA was shipping it back to the United States across the Atlantic. Well, the weather was bad, so they ended up going along the European coast, and they were being tailed by a couple of Union ships who were trying to catch it and sink it before it got out into the ocean and across.
Over in Europe?
Over in Europe.
Oh, wow.
And
so the Civil War ended up in Europe? I didn't know about that.
Oh, yeah. There was all kinds of intrigue over in Europe. Yeah.
Wow.
And the Confederates were using cotton mainly for a bargaining tool. They were selling the cotton to the Europeans, the French mainly.
Yeah.
Well, what happened was that the Jackson sailed into Spain and put to dock there during a storm, and the two Union ships were out off the coast of Portugal waiting for them, and the Portuguese Navy intercepted them. Well, the Union had enough to deal with the Confederates. They didn't want a war or battle with the Portuguese, so they negotiated back and forth. While they were negotiating to be released by the Portuguese Navy, the Jackson sailed across the Atlantic, got to Cuba, and it harbored in Cuba, and then the war was over.
Oh.
So it never really saw duty with the Civil War. The Japanese bought it, and they shipped it over to Japan, and it became part of their Civil War that they were having. And ended up being part of the Japanese Navy until about 1888. And then it was decommissioned and sat in a harbor. The Japanese walked through and perhaps Richard White walked through and tried to speak.
talking to these Japanese. Get out of that boat.
Yeah. But in the meantime, here's White along with the troops signaling back and forth, trying to accommodate the Confederate soldiers and help.
So that
the cause.
Was a teenager, Captain White.
Absolutely.
Is a teenager.
Yeah.
And then you said earlier, last hour, he ended up in a cattle drive.
He was wounded twice.
He ended up in the trenches after that.
Oh, yeah.
Rather than the Signal Corps, and then that's when he got wounded twice.
Yeah. It was an artillery shell a couple times fired over round. He caught some shrapnel in his head, kept fighting, and then it got shrapnel in the leg.
Those guys are full of metal when they were done.
They could never get through a radar detector.
Dead or alive, they were full of metal.
No, it wouldn't work. Yeah.
Well, the Civil War was pretty brutal.
Yeah, and the interesting thing about when James White left, it was over. He got his pardon, the Confederate soldiers did, and he headed west. He ended up in Texas. Well, he thought, this is great. We'll do a cattle drive. And as Rod said earlier, they were driving cattle to California, but got intercepted by the Apaches, and ended up in Abilene, Kansas. And then he went over to Fort Dodge, where he enlisted to serve as an Indian scout and a negotiator with the Indians for Sheridan. So he served for the Confederates. He served for a former Union officer.
Oh, general?
A general. And then he came down to Texas and ended up serving under, Diaz and a few of the commanding officers in Mexico Maximilian.
In Mexico?
Oh, yeah.
Fighting Maximilian?
Yes.
So they were rebels at the time. Because Maximilian was the establishment, correct?
Well, he was the establishment, and Juarez was trying to overthrow him.
Oh, so he was in Juarez's army?
Yes.
Okay, I get it.
Yeah, Diaz was one of the officers in Juarez's
army. Okay.
And which ultimately, Diaz tried to overthrow Juarez.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
Okay, and so
it didn't work.
This is all going on. You get this Captain White guy, same guy.
That's where he got the the nickname Captain.
Okay.
He served as a captain in their military. Then he comes back across the border. He ends up, I think his wife's father was part of the Dragoons that accepted the flag and hung the U.S. flag over the territory for the first time.
In El Paso or?
No, in Mesilla.
In El Mesilla, yeah. Captain White's wife's family was from Old Mesilla, and I was always told that they were there for the raising of the flag at the Gaston Purchase. Right. They had a mercantile store there in Old Mesilla. So that side of the family goes back earlier than Captain White personally. Mm-hmm. His wife was.
So do you have Mexican blood in you from
Duper,
that history?
It's possible. Duper was the.
That was her maiden name.
What was her maiden name? Duper, I think.
That sounds German or something.
Well, yeah, it could have been.
It could have very well
been.
But
the point is,
they've been there a long time.
This guy rolled in, plugged into the local society, and stayed here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because what year was this? It was after the Civil War, obviously.
It was 1881 he became sheriff.
Late 60s, early 70s. He was in El Paso. Mm-hmm. And, of course, I don't think the railroad showed up till 81.
It was 81 when they came in. So he worked for the railroad also.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, he was actually trying to clear the way and keep peace with amongst the workers of the railroad.
Well, that's got to be hard to do.
Yeah, it had to be really hard to do.
Anything that had to do with some type of legal enforcement, he did.
But then he formed the police department at some point.
Well, he was involved with the police. There was already police, but they were having a difficult time because the police had so many different duties in those days. So he went from the sheriff's department to the police department and then became chief of police.
But he was like the first one or what?
I think he was one of the first. He was the first chief of police.
Chief of police.
But back in then, Bernie, you would know this. Back in that day, they had constables that were a lot more enforcing things.
Yeah. They
And marshals. Marshals and constables.
Marshals, constables, Texas Rangers, sheriffs. Yeah. And the police was kind of unique to El Paso.
Sheriff was something that is designated, I believe, by the county.
For the whole county, yeah.
And
county.
Then that was designated by the state.
Yeah. Right. And then when El Paso got big enough, that's when they sort of went to a police department.
Police and let the county cops do the county thing.
Yeah. Sure. Then he ran for mayor.
Yeah, then he ran for mayor.
He did not make it? No,
he didn't.
Well, that was considered one of the dirtiest campaigns ever. It's a pretty wild affair. He didn't win that one. If there was such a thing as dirty tricks in a campaign, it was done.
Yeah. He represented the Union Party.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Morehead beat him.
Yeah.
Morehead was the banker.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting history in El Paso. Morehead ended up being State National Bank, I believe.
Yeah.
Oh, what a history
there. I don't know if – I've never been able to determine this. Yeah, authenticity on this one. But my father always told me that – my great-grandfather was, although he did all these jobs that were pretty rough and tumble, was really a pretty mild-mannered person, and that's why he got along with everybody.
Just don't provoke him.
Yeah, you just don't provoke him. But they had one issue that came up in El Paso way back then when I think he was probably a police chief, was that they had the robbers robbed one of the banks and got held up inside the bank. And so he went in without weapons.
Okay.
And talked him into surrendering.
Whoa. That's more than I want to do.
Yeah, he was interesting. And I mentioned in the first hour, too, that he was involved with the very first legal hanging in El Paso County.
Can you hold that till we get back on trivia?
I can do that, yeah.
Bernie's going to come back and talk about hanging here a little bit here. Oh, should we talk to trivia, about, my dear?
Oh, yes.
It is that kind of moment, and we'll come we'll come hang out with Bernie in a little while. But in the meantime, we got more trivia about the congressman, no? What else you got?
I've got, we're going to Captain H. White's trivia now.
The other part of the family.
That's right.
Did we cover enough to cover the trivia?
Yes, I think we did.
Okay.
Okay. What state was Captain James White born?
Ah, we know that, don't we?
Yes, we do.
We if you tell us the actual location, that's even better. But
I don't think we discussed that one.
But otherwise,
but if you happen to find it, yes, you'd be even smarter.
We'll get you. What do you got to give away? More DVDs?
Well, we've got more El Paso Gold DVDs we can give away, or $20 in gift certificates to Pepe's New Mexican Food.
I think we still have some of those. We'll do that.
Okay.
And as it is, the one I'm going to tell you that you really might consider doing is the last tour of the El Paso smelter. I'm going to push that one. Because what we did, Bernie was part of this routine. We went over there with cameras day after day. I mean, we did this in 2010, 2011, 2012, and we video recorded the entire smelter before they touched it, and then as they took it apart, and then when the stacks came down, we were there with 20 cameras. I mean, I didn't own them all. Yep. I had access to 20. People were giving me their footage. Anyway, that's what that video is, so that's why I'm pushing
that's
that
great. It is a great video. It
okay.
really is.
But I'm going to push that as a prize. Okay, or Pepe's. But today the question is, where was Captain White?
Where was Captain White born? The state he was born in. And if you know the city, then even
better.
You're a smarter person.
We might give you an extra DVD. Then again, we might not.
So give us a call at 915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Hi, I'm David Bellman, inventor of the Aquasonic Wave Home Jewelry Cleaner. I know people cringe when they hear me say, "Get that nasty toilet seat off your finger." The truth is, all jewelry worn on the hands and wrists contains bacteria like E. coli and Salmonella at levels much greater than a public toilet seat, bacteria that spreads to nearly everything that you touch. In fact, 1 in 6 people get food poisoning every year. And seriously, that's not right. Do what thousands of people across America have done and purchase my Aquasonic Wave Jewelry Cleaner. Harness the cleaning power of your dishwasher and make your jewelry look fresh and clean like the day it was purchased. And at the same time, remove 99% of all harmful bacteria. So get that nasty toilet seat off your finger and clean it with the Aquasonic Wave Jewelry Cleaner today.
Order now at aquasonicwave.com and click on the red iHeartRadio button to receive free shipping and an extra 6-week supply of antibacterial hydrogel. The Aquasonic Wave is the world's best jewelry cleaner. Order now at aquasonicwave.com and press the red iHeartRadio button.
Do you spend your nights going to the bathroom instead of sleeping? Can't sit through a movie or have trouble going? If so, you might be suffering from an enlarged prostate. If you suffer from a weak stream, frequent urgency, discomfort during urination, or even a diminished sex drive, then listen to this. There's now a major breakthrough to help get these problems under control. It's Prosvent, a doctor-formulated blend of natural herbs and nutrients specifically designed to help promote the health of your prostate. It's so effective, relief is guaranteed within 30 days.
This is wonderful stuff, remarkable stuff. I wish someone had told me about it sooner.
To get a free bottle of Prosvent with your order, call 800-227-7003 or go to yourfreebottle.com and enter iHeart at checkout. Remember, call 800-227-7003 or go to yourfreebottle.com. That's 800-227-7003. Supplies are limited, so call 800-227-7003 now.
Message and data rates may apply.
When did American men get so soft? Today's average red-blooded American man has less testosterone than his father, and his father has less testosterone than his father. Before we turn into a country of powder puffs, Force Factor is launching the Man Up America event. We want to send every man in America a complimentary bottle of the breakout supplement taking GNC by storm. Test X180 Ignite, loaded with free testosterone-boosting manliness. Get your complimentary bottle by texting FUEL to 369-369. During workouts, Test X180 Ignite raises levels of free testosterone in your body to help build lean muscle. Plus, it helps burn fat, fuel sexual desire, and improve performance. Now you can continue to feel like the real men that made this country great. Do yourself a favor. Do America a favor. Text FUEL to 369-369 for your complimentary bottle. That's a complimentary bottle by texting FUEL to 369-369.
Don't you hate it when you're doing your taxes and that so-called free tax site hits you with a $70 charge before you file? $70 doesn't sound very free. Well, now there's Credit Karma Tax. Credit Karma Tax is really, truly, completely free from beginning to end. Itemized deductions, rental income, 1099s for self-employment, state and federal filing. It's all included. This year, file your taxes for free and keep your full tax refund at creditkarma.com/tax. Free to start, free to finish. Credit Karma Tax.
Now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history, Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant at 6761 Donovan Drive, Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. And now, here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Pohl.
We got callers on hold for trivia, and I'll tell you who's coming here next week. Oh, next week, check this out. El Paso graphics artist Nacho Garcia. Yay. He's going to be our guest telling tales of working for the El Paso Times as their main editorial page cartoonist. Ooh. Plus, he's seen a lot of El Paso history himself firsthand, and his grandfather, maybe great-grandfather, was a Texas Ranger at the Salt Wars in San Elizario. That's not what killed him. It was an arrow from Victorio, the Indian that killed him. Anyway, that's another matter. April 1st, History Museum's next honoree for the Wall of Giants is Cathedral High School. And we're going to hear all about that, plus the history of the current exhibit and the exhibits before that, and how the History Museum actually got where it is. Bernie Sargent's going to be the main man coming in there. And a UTEP guy.
Yes.
I remember offhand.
Was it David?
Yes.
David Saucedo?
No, he won't.
I can't because of his campaign.
He thinks he's running for mayor. He can't do that. It was a guy named David. Well, I'm sorry, David. I apologize. I didn't write that down on the paper. And April the, what would that be? The next, April the 8th?
April Fool.
That was April 1.
Okay.
April the next would be the 8th, I guess, honoring UTEP women. They're writing a book about how the women of UTEP have made a difference. All kinds of things going on. We'll get to that as we need to. And what do you got?
Well, let's just bring you up to date. The Sunset Film Society has got their film program going on down at the International Museum of Art. And today they're showing the movie The Border.
The Border.
The Border. And that's going to be at 2 p.m. And it's you know how much it costs?
Free.
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 The only thing it's going to cost you is their fresh popcorn and candy and snacks, and that's the only thing you have to pay for. And that's down there, again, at the International Museum of Art. It's 1211 Montana Avenue, right at the corner of Brown and Montana Street. And it'd be great if you're not going to be outside today, go on down and watch the movie, The Border. It's kind of nice to see how El Paso looked when they were making these movies down there, because all these movies are based on what that were filmed here in El Paso.
You have a date of when that was supposed to be portrayed?
1982.
Oh, my.
That's
so
cool.
The freeway had just come in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No telling what else is going
and
on.
And that's the one with Jack Nicholson in it.
And the previous one, Shelley went to the... How was that movie, Shelley, last week? She went to The Getaway.
Yeah.
She had a good time with that.
And hey, I ran into Jay Duncan yesterday.
Oh, how's he going?
He's doing great. Doing great. And he was saying that they got The Godfather coming up. Ooh. And they're going to ask everybody to dress in Godfather attire.
And play funny music and kill people.
Stuff no. your, yeah, stuff your mouth with cotton.
Go ahead, Bernie. Talk make my day.
Ruining my day.
I'll bring in my bug sprayer.
I think I want to go there. But we got trivia on the brain here. We got Louie and Bob online. There's a third line open, 544-5876, if you want to try that. Going to Louie. What's the question? Louie's on the line here. Hey, Louie, how's it going?
Good morning.
Good morning. Where was Captain James White born?
All I heard was the state of Virginia. I didn't get city.
Well, that's okay.
We'll take it.
Yay. You'll take it. Yay, Louis.
You win, Louis. We got some DVDs. We got some Pepe's food. Name your poison.
Name
your prize.
I think I have most of the DVDs. So cool. I've never gone to Pepe's restaurants. So
Pepe's.
Like
Pepe's is a fabulous place.
You won't find Pecos restaurant here.
No, no, it's Pepe's. P-E-P-P-E. Pepe Morales and his wife, Lorena.
It's great.
Guess who's in charge? But they had run the Griggs restaurants for Mr. Griggs. So what they did on their exit, they bought the recipes from the family. They actually bought some of the tables. I'm sure the forks are the same.
Yeah, everything's the same.
The chips are fresher, though.
The chips are brand new because all the recipes are repeated out there. And today, the Oñate special is three roll tacos. And, you know, do you remember the coleslaw with Griggs? Did you ever eat that?
Oh, it's been a long time, but it was real good, I remember.
It was German coleslaw with a lot of vinegar, so prepare yourself.
And the best part is that same wonderful warm personality and the friendly atmosphere is what went with it. It's a family atmosphere.
Okay.
It's good stuff. All right, you got that?
I have a question and a suggestion.
Sure.
Well, I guess I wanted to ask Rod if his father ever showed any signs of PTSD, but before that, I just wanted to suggest that maybe as a guest you might want to have Queta Fierro someday.
Oh, that might be a great idea.
Yeah, that would be a great idea. My father, up until the time he died, played tennis, was very active. He was still an active lawyer. He showed no issues. The only problem that I noticed is that because of his weakening heart, because of the heart muscle was weakened, he used to fall asleep sometimes in conversation. But other than that, he did not show any signs of that at all.
Okay, good, because Iwo Jima was pretty brutal.
Yeah, I do remember when he came back from the war, he had trouble sleeping on a mattress. That's what I was told. And then I remember as a young child, I went in to see him when he was taking a nap on the bed. And I sort of half jumped on him, which I thought that was normal for a kid. And it woke him up in a start, and he rolled off the bed with me and him on top. It was a natural reaction.
He was going to kill you.
Yeah, like someone attacked him, and I think that's just a natural reaction. But yeah, it took a while for him to get over the war, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, I'd have to.
Yeah.
Thanks for the call, Louis. Stay on hold and pick up your certificate.
Yeah.
Hold on there. All right, we got another caller here, and the next caller is Bob. Bob got you on the radio. How's it going, Bob?
Good.
Bob, are you ready for a question?
Yes, I hope so.
Or do you have a question for Rod?
Yes, I did. Captain White served in the U.S. military, but he also served in what foreign military service as a captain?
For Benito Juarez.
There you go. That would have been the Mexican Army?
Yeah, do you know which conflict that was?
Well, he served with, you know who else served with him?
Who?
Albert Fountain.
Oh.
That's real possible.
In Chihuahua.
Bob would know, yeah.
Yes.
Well, Bob was there.
Don't do that to Bob. I did that to him last week.
Poor Bob.
Bob, you put up with this very nicely. Thank you. We love you, Bob.
You know, James was also 15 when he joined the Civil War.
It was 15? Okay. We knew he was a young guy. Very young. Yeah.
Being the youngest.
What else is on your mind this morning?
I've got it right now.
Okay. Can we give you a DVD? We're running out of certificates. That's my problem. How about the last tour of the El Paso Smelter? You haven't seen that one, have you?
Yeah, I have that one.
Oh, you do? Huh? What else we got over here? Let me talk into something else.
Do you have the mountains?
Oh, the one day we have the mountains... No. Do you have it over there?
No.
I'm sorry, we don't. We have ghost stories, and we have... You know what you need to look at, Bob? This might kill you, but do it anyway. The Women's Club.
I'll do it.
Do it. See? The Women's Club of El Paso is
great history.
Is integral in this city's history, and if you don't know that stuff, you're missing something.
I know it, but I want to see it.
Okay, you got it.
And you get to watch me tell you the history.
Guess who hosts it on camera is Melissa Sargent. So
I got one more thing to tell you.
Sure, go ahead.
I missed a question once, and a friend of mine, Don Knapp, who's retired, lives in Washington. His relative called him from Alto and said, Bob Keller just missed a question.
Can you imagine?
From Don in Washington saying, you dumbass.
I think I didn't hear that word, but that's good. Well, you know, this show has a reach out there on the internet now. And we're also, anybody wants to call and tell their relatives, hey, these guys are on KTSMradio.com, go there. So, All right, Bob, well, thank you for being a good sport.
Thanks for listening.
And we appreciate you out there, dude. Hold on, Shelley. We'll tell you how to pick up your prize, all right?
We have two new listeners from Santa Fe that I met last night.
Thank
also.
You, Bob.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, we have two new listeners from Santa Fe, New Mexico, that were at the Oregon Southwest or Oregon California Trails Association meeting last night. They both have written really great books for this organization, and both went to the same universities that Melissa and I went to in California.
What a small world you have.
Mickey Mouse U. Cal State Fullerton.
Mickey Mouse U?
Well, that's what we used to call it, because it was practically across the street from, well, not
Dismaland.
Across the
All you Californians.
The Tragic Kingdom.
Tragic Kingdom.
Oh, yes. Bernie is an historian and is a cut-up as well. But we love you. And
thank you.
We're going to talk more about this history coming up here, Richard C. White. And his ancient relative known as his grandfather, right?
His
grandfather.
Yeah. And I just now got the pictures posted.
Oh, what do you got up there?
Actually, the chapeau that his great-grandfather was wearing in the picture that we posted in earlier, and also the cap from the Knights Templar, and also his Almeida Shriner's hat.
We decided that was Knights Templar.
Yes, and another gentleman even made a remark about it, saying being the Knights Templar. But yes, it is the Knights Templar.
So maybe the guy wasn't Catholic after all.
Well,
because we thought it was Knights of Columbus.
I don't know that we really could say that they weren't Catholic or not, because I can't really find anything that where people were not specifically Catholic that belonged to Knights Templar.
We originally thought it might be
because of the Knights of Columbus.
Because it was Knights of Columbus, we thought that's what that was.
You know.
But
it's
not.
You know how things kind of got murky later on, you know?
Yeah. But that one's definitely Knights of Columbus. I mean, Knights Templar,
which
is a branch of Freemasonry. So there. All right, taking a break. Coming back in a moment with more of this stuff here. Sergio, are you ready to hit the button? Well, first of all, what's the number?
915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-753-3896. That's 800-753-3896. Again, 800-753-3896.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-224-5353. That's 1-800-224-5353. 1-800-224-5353. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price can vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Let me ask you a question. How long has it been since you've updated your home or business list of assets or property inventory? In the case of a loss by fire, theft, or natural disaster, the insurance company and police will ask for detailed descriptions and often require pictures as proof of ownership. If you can't remember, you can't recover. Contact Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services. Our process provides detailed documentation of what you own. There is no price tag on peace of mind. Call 915-581-7099.
Go to ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history and for podcasts of our weekly radio show and for a list of area stores that carry our DVDs like El Paso's Waco Tanks, Mexican Revolution sites in El Paso, and Legends of El Paso's Mountains. 18 titles in all, plus links to dozens of TV stories about El Paso area history. Go to ephistory.com for a journey into El Paso's amazing history. ephistory.com.
Now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. And by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. And now, here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
All right, going to tell you right now what's happening this week only in El Paso, Inc.
How would the eight candidates for mayor grade the El Paso City Council? Here's a hint. There are no A, B, C, or A, B, or C.
No grades above D, huh?
Uh-huh.
All right, also in the Inc., meet the young entrepreneur who will get the first ever award for innovation in downtown redevelopment.
And how NAFTA is helping a local steel mill protect local jobs and fight Chinese imports.
El Paso Inc. online, elpasoinc.com, and available for home and business delivery.
Call El Paso Inc. at 534-4422 to subscribe.
Sunday on ABC 7 Extra, what major projects coming from the city, TxDOT, and two school districts? How is El Paso doing with the shortage of qualified construction workers? What's being done to address the problem?
The program is live and interactive, and you can send in your comment or question via email, Facebook, Twitter, or just give them a call. Stephanie Guadian hosts Sunday at 10:35 p.m. on ABC 7.
All right, ABC 7, we thank you for them. They promote us Sunday morning
thank
on Saturday.
You.
And here we are with them. All right, Rod White, we're here, and you had something. One of you guys was going to say something important about the hanging.
Come up with something.
Yes. The hanging.
Bernie, I think it's going to be
the very, very first official hanging in the county of El Paso was overseen by James H. White, Captain White. And it was interesting because the headline says, Apple and Candy Stands did rushing business July 5th, 1883.
Because of?
The hanging. People wanted to come see the hanging.
Can you imagine?
They were
popcorn.
Selling souvenirs. It was quite an event.
And the little effigies. No, don't go there. But when you said, the key word you said was the first official.
Yeah.
There had been a few before that.
Well, there had been a few, yes.
Here and there.
And he was, it was 1883, and he had not been sheriff for very long at that time. And the whole thing was about a gentleman from Presidio who had his wife was having an affair, and he ended that affair. So he was sentenced to death.
A crime of passion.
Ah, yes. They all ended up dying, it sounds like, there. On that
one.
All right. We got a caller from Daryl. Not anybody, but the Daryl. Hey, Daryl, how's it going?
Very well, Jackson. Melissa.
Hey, Daryl.
Rod's here.
I wanted to. I don't want to break the rhythm of the program. But
you're going to.
I was driving, and I couldn't. I just wanted to compliment so much Richard White because he was part of the reason I'm here in El Paso. I got out of service in 1964, and my dad was. I came back to Fort Bliss where he was stationed, and he had a major stroke, and he was a combat veteran of World War II and Korea. And he was looking forward to going to Vietnam, even he was on levy for that. But we had problems with where they totally medically discharged him and was evaluating him very poorly and some things. And so I asked for the intervention of Representative White, and it turned out to be a very, very positive experience. And just so thankful for his sensitivity to veterans and the needs of the veterans.
Rod has a comment.
Yeah, I'm really glad you mentioned that because there's one thing that I wanted to mention to the viewers. My father had a number of items that he did that were, like the National Park and some of the Sergeant Major's Academy and some things like that. But really, to him, the most important part that he did was helping individual constituents with their issues that they had with the federal government whenever they had problems or runarounds. And Ketta Fierro, when she was on earlier, was a big part of that help. And so I'm glad you mentioned that because I think anybody that has issues where the government is not taking care of them or they're slow on responding, that call your local congressman. And your local congressman's main job and their offices are trained for this is to run this is to run interference for you and talk with those agencies in the federal government. Believe me, you and I calling the federal agency, we're not getting anywhere. But when the congressman's office calls, things happen.
It's different. Well, Daryl, thank you for your memories and also your thoughts about Richard White. He was one of the good guys. He really was.
Yes, he was.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you a lot. Take care. Oh, and a couple things about Richard White that I recall. There was a question when Biggs Air Force Base was closing, what's going to happen here? Well, Richard White did. He went and got a language school for Vietnamese language put here in El Paso. Do you remember also that they had a Vietnamese village created on the side of the mountain right now where the archaeology museum is? They did that. They had pop-up targets for part of Casner Range. And when they were constructing the museums there on Trans Mountain Road and Trans Mountain Road itself, they had to pull up the cables that were connecting from the
to raise the targets.
The command center would raise the targets, and people would then shoot up into the mountain. That all happened right there where the archaeology museum is today. But Richard White had a lot to do with all that being here.
Yeah, and he also, a little later, he got the Sergeant Major's Academy, which is... That's at Fort Bliss. A lot of their operations is over in the Biggs area.
Oh, yeah.
In Biggs Field area.
So he was instrumental in quite a many a thing. We didn't hear about this, but I presume he was heavy into the VA, the Veterans Administration.
Yeah, that, and I know he helped enlarge the Beaumont Hospital a couple of times when way back then.
But also let's talk about the park, the national park that he helped get done.
Yeah, the Guadalupe National Park, that was a huge undertaking. I don't think there'd been a national park in a while. And I don't know the numbers or the dates on it, but that particular park, being the highest point in Texas.
That's his district.
That's his district, yeah. And he, I remember the opening on that thing. That was quite an opening. Of course, there wasn't a whole lot there when they first opened. It was more like a mobile home office and so forth.
Yeah. But US 80 going right by it. That's about it. Yeah.
Right, USA. They had what was really interesting, Dad had some issues after they opened the park because there was a separate entrance, I guess, towards the east for, McKittrick Canyon.
Yeah, this beautiful.
And which is a beautiful canyon to hike if you ever want to go hiking. But the entrance off of the highway, they had to run through private land to get back in there to McKittrick Canyon because the original park did not own that front land.
How'd that go?
And well, that was the problem in the beginning. They the owner of the land would shut the gate.
Uh-huh.
Lock the gate so you couldn't get into McKittrick Canyon's entrance. So
did your dad get involved?
Yeah, oh yeah. They had to work that out. I'm not sure how they ended up solving it, but maybe they ended up buying the right-of-way or whatever. But anyway, it's not an issue now.
No, they got that figured out because that's a national park.
Yeah.
And the other thing was that we talked briefly about the state park known as Waco Tanks.
Yes.
Your father was instrumental in getting that become a state park. And on the way, he tried to get the Tiguas to maintain the security there and a presence and some income because he realized they were destitute and it just never worked out. The Tiguas subsequently now, they own about 2,000 acres of land adjacent Waco Tanks out there on the other side. They're still interested.
Yeah, I'm wondering if there's some kind of a tie that brought the attention of Guadalupe to Richard White, because when James H. White was running for mayor, Richard Burgess was his recorder of record for that campaign. Richard Burgess was very instrumental in getting Carlsbad recognized as a park.
So those guys are looking that direction
in
their thinking.
Yeah.
So there had to be some kind of a familiarity with that area, outside of the fact that it was the tallest point in Texas.
Oh, yeah, that's very cool. All right, taking a break here, come back with Rod White and Bernie Sargent, and we're going to wrap up the idea of Congressman Richard C. White. And there's Facebook pictures here, folks. What have you done? What have you done?
I've got some people very interested. I had one gentleman who knew right away that was Knights of Templar stuff, and we've been going back and forth on some information. And just it's been real good. Good conversations, good people out there checking us out.
Take a look at the
Paso History Radio Show Facebook page.
There you go. We'll come back and have Johnny on the phone when we get back. 544-5876
or 915-544-KTSM.
This weekend only, the Corporate Buick GMC used car $1 down sale. That's right, $1 down and you're driving. The finest collection of used cars, trucks, and SUVs in the city. Hurry for best selection. Prices are slashed and painted clearly on the windshield. Or click on the CrawfordBuickGMC.com. Expedited credit approval, the best financing options, and the friendliest professional sales team in the business. Right now, during the Crawford used car $1 down sale. ShopCrawfordBuickGMC.com, Montana and Airway. If you haven't shopped Crawford used cars, you're not done shopping.
Warning, if you've recently declared bankruptcy, you're going to want to cover your ears. Because there's an alternative to bankruptcy, and it could be better than you'd ever think possible. But if you've already declared bankruptcy and have missed this opportunity, you'll want to cover your ears now. Here it is. Right now, the company that has resolved more credit card debt than anyone in the U.S. may be able to settle your debt, too. You can resolve your debt with one low monthly program payment. If you call right now and qualify, Freedom Debt Relief will show you how low your monthly program payment could be for free. Call now. 1-800-600-3018. That's 1-800-600-3018. If you're struggling with debt, this could be your answer. And the bigger your debt, the more money you could save. To find out for free how much of your hard-earned money Freedom Debt Relief could help you save, call now. 1-800-600-3018. 1-800-600-3018. 1-800-600-3018.
As entrepreneurs, you're always on the go. That's why they created Grasshopper, the entrepreneur's phone system. Get all the features of a business phone system and the freedom of a cell phone with their mobile apps. See how it works at grasshopper.com. Grasshopper. The entrepreneur's phone system.
Ending multiple sclerosis for good will take all of us. Walk MS helps us team up with friends, loved ones, and coworkers to change the world for everyone affected by MS. Join us for Walk MS El Paso Saturday, March 25th at the Valle Verde campus of EPCC at 9 a.m. with the walk beginning at 10. Together, we become a powerful force, and with every step we take, every dollar we raise, we're that much closer. Together, we will end MS forever. See you Saturday, March 25th at the Valle Verde campus of EPCC.
Small business owners, here's a thought. Just about half of all consumers are listening to AM/FM radio right before walking into a store. So the last thing they hear on iHeartRadio could be a commercial for your small business right before they reach for their wallets. Call 844-BUY-RADIO and advertise on iHeartRadio.
Now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. And by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. And now, here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
We are still here along with Rod White, son of the congressman, Richard C., and also Bernie Sargent, historian of El Paso. I've just decided that's your title.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Because you deserve it. You've been beat up too much lately, and you're a good guy. So we don't need to hear about that negative stuff, because Bernie's in the house, and you're coming back in 2 weeks and talking about the wall
Of giants
at the History Museum.
Uh-huh.
That's got an amazing history by itself. If we can remember all of them going backwards, we'll discuss
we'll list them.
Yeah, go there. And so that's coming up in 2 weeks. Next week, by the way, Nacho Garcia's in
Oh, that's going to be fun. He's a nice guy.
Well, he's a great guy to talk to, but the effusiveness of his history and the fact that he had a relative who was a Texas Ranger.
His picture that he took of Max and me.
Yeah. That was fat coming full circle. Yes, indeed.
His cartoons in themselves are just wonderful.
But we got one of him coming up online. It was in the Paso Inc. tonight. All right, going on to the radio program. We got Johnny on the phone. Johnny, how's it going?
Yeah, good morning, guys. How's everything going?
Good morning, Johnny.
Yeah. By the way, I know you're running short, so I'll get back to my point. Mr. White, Richard C. White, took me back in the late 80s, 86, 87. At that time, he was practicing an attorney, and I had a legal problem, too, much like the other caller. And so the funny part about our story is, anyway, when I hired him and everything, we met downtown, and we were walking from the parking lot.
We lost Johnny.
I got him.
And so we were heading to the parking lot, and I was noticing all kind of people just recognizing him, you know, hello, Congressman, and people, like, you know, pardon the Red City for him, you know, and I said, wow, you know, this is good. Everybody knows this guy. I feel kind of popular. We make it to the court, and we get up into the courtroom, and again, you know, hello?
Yes, sir, we're on. Go ahead.
Yeah, I get up in the courtroom, and everybody's fawning over me and everything, and even a bailiff, and even the judge kind of, you know, gave him some nice compliments. And the judge said something that a current judge on TV says every day. That doesn't mean you're going to win the case. Well, what he said to me, He said, son, he said, yeah, the conference is very famous here, but unless you have a good, strong team, you're not going to win. He said it in jest.
Yeah.
But at the time out, the Congress helped me, too. I was very successful in my case. So I want to thank you for your dad who was here to help me back then.
I appreciate
then.
That.
Well, thanks for calling, Johnny. I appreciate the thoughts. Yeah.
Thank you.
You take a reading. Congressman White touched a lot of lives in a lot of ways because as a congressman, I mean, you're into everybody's stuff. You know, you're dealing with their issues before the federal government. But as a human being, he was a very nice guy. Because I remember when I went up to work for your father as a patronage job to get out of El Paso, that's how I got to D.C. because I went there to work for the congressman running elevators in the House office building. What a crazy job for an 18-year-old. That was. And I thank you for that, too, Rod. Thank you very much. But in the meantime, we're still having reunions, and now you're part of it because one of our people found you and said, yeah, you should have been the class of 69 had you stayed in town.
Yeah, I would have gone to Austin High School, class of 69, but got uprooted and went up there.
You would have probably lit the A with us because we used to go do that.
Oh, when it was. I was so close. I lived really close to that.
Well, you were, like you had Bobby Snow next to you. He's just retiring now as Chase Bank president. You had Francie Marshall across the street. Her father was a law firm guy. You had Davis Driver up the street.
Yeah.
You had Rex Ramsey down the street. I still see his sister Tracy out at Pepe's once in a while. What a history there. And Bernie, your history looking at this was some of the older dude. What other thoughts have you on the great-grandfather? Because, I mean, he was...
I don't know if I'd like that one, the great-grandfather.
I graduated before they did.
Yeah,
so
that's
I can
true.
Well, no, but I mean, you had history on the
only person older than me is Keller, so...
Oh, that's true. He's out there. But the thing is, but you're looked into the... What Bernie does is look into the pioneer's history.
Sure. Yeah.
And that's the point. He was a pioneer.
He was.
Talk about the pioneer and the association.
Well, he was one of the very first... members of the Pioneer Association that was not born in El Paso.
We're talking about Captain White.
Captain James H. White, yes. And an honorable member. And we were talking before we came back on the air during commercial that when he passed in San Diego and they brought him back for his funeral, the procession was blocks long. I mean, everybody loved the man.
Yeah.
He was courteous, kind and courteous, but firm in his convictions.
Kind of like his grandson was, the congressman.
Guess it would, I guess you could say that. Now, we don't know Rod that well. But
now,
Rod's all bets are off with
Rod's a different guy. But the thing was, the Captain White history was amazing because we got about a minute here. The Pioneer Association was actually a group of guys who were pioneers.
They were. Yeah, it started out as Pioneer Society, and then in 1904 became the Pioneer Association.
And the requirements to join were?
White man.
But you had to have been in El Paso prior
to 1880.
1880?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was 1890.
No, 1880.
So these were the old dudes. I mean, like MacGoffin.
Yeah, MacGoffin and you
the
had
pioneers.
Hart and all those people, yeah.
So they really were the pioneers. And that organization maintained throughout the history, and it's coming back again. Tell us briefly about that.
Oh, very much so. Well, the initial charter said no women.
Yeah, now
so they had a woman's affiliate
but
organization.
But you fixed that.
But now, I didn't fix it. It was
somebody.
Fixed prior to me. Well, they had to be because, you know, I've got Melissa's wife. So
that's right.
So now it's, in fact... as of 2 weeks ago, I'm now the president, and it was a woman that was a president prior to that.
Pioneer Association of El Paso, Texas.
Janet Aguilar.
Well, this is going to be
done a great job. I mean, it's a lot of wonderful things. We are now responsible for the Girl Scout camp,
right.
But it's really the Pioneer camp. And now the Boy Scouts are using it, and we've got a couple of agreements going with several very generous people to help improve it. In the interim until the Francis Park, Boy Scout Park is completed.
I predict television in your future.
Yeah,
we'll see
so.
How that goes.
Yeah.
In the meantime, it's been fun. And
you
mean talking.
I can buy a TV?
You can have a TV, and you can get to watch it for free if you pay for the electricity.
If we get like a 12-inch you can have.
Thank you.
Melissa, we're out of here. Should we come
Are
back
we
talk
here?
To Nacho Garcia next week? Let's
I
do
think
that.
So. I think it'll be a lot of fun. I like Nacho.
Rod White, thanks
guy.
For coming in here, dude. Really appreciate it.
Really enjoyed it.
And Bernie, as always, you're welcome here. Thank you for coming in
thank
and being
the
historian that you is.
Thank you.
And everybody, we're going to go to the block for lunch if anybody's interested. Everybody else who can make it, go to Pepe's because
we're going
to
celebrate Bernie's mother's 89th birthday. Happy birthday, Gene.
There you go. Everybody else, we'll see you at the block today or not at all. See you next week on the radio show.
You got it. Bye-bye.
EPHistory.com. Go there. Okay, bye.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the El Paso History Show. We hope you'll join us again next Saturday morning, 10 to noon, and be sure to tell a friend about us. Brought to you by ephistory.com, the website for archived podcasts of this radio show, and DVDs about El Paso history and heritage, ephistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location, 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. Call 915-581-7099. And by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. Thank you for joining us from the studios of News Radio 690 KTSM AM, El Paso.